Well, happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on the 16th day of February 2019. Welcome to those joining us on the phone, listening to the recording, tuning into WLMR Radio, and glad to have you join with us on this beautiful Sabbath day. And praise our Savior for coming soon. And for his great sacrifice in love in providing for each one of us salvation. So happy Sabbath, dear ones. And our opening song for today's service is titled Send the Light. And those who know this wonderful hymn, please feel free to sing along. There's a call come ringing o'er the restless wave. Send the light, send the light. There are souls to rescue, there are souls to save. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Macedonian call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Everywhere bound, send the light, send the light. And the Christ-like spirit everywhere be found. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Let us not grow weary in the work of love. Send the light, send the light. Let us gather jewels for a crown above. Send the light, send the light. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. Indeed, dear ones, let us let our light so shine for Jesus that he may be uplifted and people may be brought to salvation before it's too late. And praise our Father as Lord of the harvest that he's raising up laborers and sending them forth. And this light of present truth is indeed reaching to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. And soon everyone will have a chance to hear the message and decide for or against it. And those who love the truth will be saved. And what a privilege it is to work hand in hand with our God in seeking to save the lost. So let your light shine, dear ones. And now it's time for opening prayer. And who here would like to offer our opening prayer for us? Please go right ahead.
Loving Father in heaven, we thank you for another Sabbath that we can come together to worship you and praise your name. We thank you for life, health, and strength. We thank you for food, raiment, and shelter. We know there are folks out there that lack all of them. Be with the speaker today that he will bring us some fresh bread from heaven's bakery. May the words he speaks this morning touch hearts, our hearts, and cause us to long for heaven and homeland. Be with those who would like to come and can't. Be with those who are infirm and can't even get on the computers or the phones. I know when sickness overcomes a person pretty heavily, they lose interest in what's going on around them. And that has happened to one of our friends. You know his condition, whether you're going to put him to bed early or whether you're going to bring him back to active life and let him be among the living when you come. Forgive us for our sins and help us to keep the Sabbath holy as we are taught to do. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So welcome again, dear ones, and happy Sabbath to you. And this is part 5 in our series, What is the Mark in the Image of the Beast? And so far throughout this series, we've seen conclusive evidence that the Roman Catholic Church has manifested 9 of the 10 different characteristics that Revelation 13 uses to identify who the beast is. And the first characteristic was that we learned that the Roman Catholic Church arose among established nations of what became Western Europe. The second characteristic, we discovered that the church has aspects of Greece, Persia, and Babylon within her. In fact, so much of pagan Babylon is found to be within the Roman Catholic Church that it's like this mystery religion is still alive and well today. The third characteristic, we saw that after the fall of the Roman Empire in 476 AD, that the Roman Catholic Church managed to take over Rome's place of authority over the 10 nation states of Europe. And these 10 nation states began supporting and empowering the church. The fourth characteristic is we understood that the dragon or Satan became the power behind Roman Catholicism, and thus was giving this church her power and great authority. The fifth characteristic is we learned that in 1798, the Catholic Church was without a visible head to rule and thus received a deadly wound. But ever since 1929, this deadly wound has begun to be healed, and now the Roman Catholic Church is again one of the most powerful religious and political organizations in the world. In characteristic number 6, we saw that the Catholic Church indeed wielded immense political and religious power and authority in Western Europe. In characteristic number 7, we discovered that the Roman Catholic Church has indeed committed blasphemy against God in all 3 biblical areas that denote blasphemy. The 8th characteristic, we saw that the Catholic Church has persecuted, warred against, and murdered around 100 million people throughout its period of persecution. And these people just chose not to follow the church, but follow Christ instead. And that was enough to make them martyrs. Characteristic number 9, we learned that the Roman Catholic Church reigned supreme for 42 prophetic months, which equaled exactly 1260 literal years, and this was from March of 538 AD to February of 1798, exactly 42 prophetic months, or 1260 literal years. So this reveals to us that the Roman Catholic Church has manifested nine characteristics of the beast of Revelation 13. But in order for Catholicism to be the beast, this church must manifest all ten characteristics. So then what about this tenth and last remaining characteristic dealing with this mysterious number of 666? Does the Roman Catholic Church also manifest this final characteristic? And also, what is this mark of the beast? And this is what we're going to be investigating into today. And those that would like to follow along with the quotes, the notes I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/ID166.htm. So what about this tenth and last characteristic? Does Catholicism also manifest this? And if you look at quote number one, the tenth characteristic was that this beast has the number 666. And this reveals that since the Bible states that this is the number of a man and that it is the number of his name, so then this literal number of 666 is somehow connected with the numeric number of a man's name that is closely associated with the beast. And in fact, even the Roman Catholic Douay version of the Bible has this note regarding Revelation 13:18. The Douay version says, "The numeral letters of his name shall make up this number." So then, is there a man who is closely connected with the Roman Catholic Church whose name in numeric numbers totals 666? Now, first of all, what man do you first think of when you think about the Roman Catholic Church? And most of the people will naturally think of the Pope. He's the head of the church. And the Pope is indeed closely connected with the Catholic Church, because without him, the Catholic Church is dead. So let's see if the Pope's name totals 666. Now, what is the Pope's official name? And in Sacrosancta Concilia ad Regitinoem Exacta by Philip Labbé, S.J., which means Society of Jesus or a Jesuit, Volume 1, page 1534, appears this statement. The title given to the Pope is Vicarius Filii Dei. From Our Sunday Visitor, or Catholic Weekly, November 14, 1915, under Bureau of Information, page 3. The title of the Pope of Rome is Vicarius Filii Dei. This is inscribed on his mitre. Another quote from Our Sunday Visitor, or Catholic Weekly, April 18, 1915. The 13th question under Bureau of Information, page 3, appears this statement. What are the letters supposed to be in the Pope's crown, and what do they signify, if anything? Answer. The letters inscribed in the Pope's mitre are these, Vicarius Filii Dei, which is the Latin for Vicar of the Son of God. Catholics hold that the church, which is a visible society, must have a visible head. Christ, before his ascension into heaven, appointed St. Peter to act as his representative. Upon the death of Peter, the man who succeeded to the office of Peter as Bishop of Rome was recognized as the head of the church. Hence, to the Bishop of Rome as the head of the church was given the title Vicar of Christ. And here's another. This is from The Temporal Power of the Vicar of Jesus Christ by Henry Edward Cardinal Manning, page 231 to 32. The temporal power in the hands of St. Gregory I was a fatherly and patriarchal rule over nations not as yet reduced to civil order. In the hands of St. Leo III, it became a power of creating empires. In the hands of St. Gregory VII, it was a scourge to chasten them. In the hands of Alexander III, it was a dynasty, ruling supremely in the name of God over the powers of the world. So that I may say that there never was a time when the temporal power of the Vicar of the Son of God, though assailed as we see it, was more firmly rooted through the whole unity of the Catholic Church. It was a dignified obedience to bow to the Vicar of the Son of God and to remit the arbitration of their griefs to one whom all wills consented to obey. So what does Vicar of the Son of God mean? Vicarius Filii Dei is Latin, and vicarius means substituting for or in place of. Filii means son, and Dei is God. So Vicarius Filii Dei means vicar substituting in the place of the Son of God. So Vicar of the Son of God literally means that the Pope is substituting himself for or is taking the place of the Son of God to the Catholic people. Quite an amazing substitution. Amazing claim. So as this is indeed the official name for the Pope, then how does one count the number of this name, Vicarius Filii Dei? And if you look at quote number 2, before the use of numbers as we know them today, letters of the alphabet were given numerical significance. And in ancient heathen cults, much thought was given to the preparation of titles which contained the desired numerical significance. And most of us are familiar with Roman numerals. And the numbering system that was used in ancient Rome was that the letter 1, or the letter I, represented the number 1. The letter V, or U, represented the number 5. The letter X represented the number 10. The letter L represented 50. The letter C, 100. The letter D, 500. The letter M, 1,000. So since Latin was the official language of ancient Rome, and this official name for the Pope is in Latin, then all we have to do is apply this Roman numbering system to the Pope's name and see what numerical total we get. So it's kind of fun and a little exciting to do this. So let's apply this to the Pope's name. Vicarius Filii Dei. You notice on the left, Vicarius is written out. And next to all the letters are applied the value of the Roman numerals. The V would represent 5, the I would represent 1, the C would be 100, the A would be 0, the R would be 0, because there's no numerical significance to A or R. The I would again be 1, the U, same as V, would be 5, and the S would represent 0. So if you add up what vicarious represents in numbers, it would represent 112. So vicarious numerically stands for 112. Now phili, the F would be 0, the I would be 1, the L would be 50, and then the last two I's would be 1 each. So that would total 53. Dei, the D would be 500, the E would be 0, and the I would be 1, which would total 501. So then when you add up the numerical total for vicarious fili dei, 112 plus 53 plus 501 totals 666. Quite amazing, isn't it? So the numerical number of the official name of the Pope, Vicarius Fili Dei, adds up to the exact total of 666. So this means that the number of a man's name of 666, who is indeed closely connected with Catholicism, is manifested within the Roman Catholic Church. And thus the Catholic Church does indeed manifest this last and tenth characteristic of the beast of Revelation 13. So then, since we've seen conclusive evidence that the Roman Catholic Church has manifested all ten characteristics connected with the beast of Revelation 13, then this shows us without a doubt that the Catholic Church is this beast described in Revelation 13. No other power in history has been shown to manifest all ten identifying characteristics of the beast except the Roman Catholic Church. It can be no other power but Rome. Now, if you look at quote number 3, since we know that the Roman Catholic Church is this beast of Revelation 13, then what is the mark of the beast? What is this mark of the Roman Catholic Church? And if you remember, in the first part of this series, we learned that the Greek word that's used for mark is pteregma. And this word translates and means a stamp as a badge of servitude or mark. And that was Strong's word number 5480. So then the mark of the beast is not a credit card, it's not a laser mark, it's not a biochip implant, it's not a national identification number, or even a giant computer over in Brussels, or anywhere else in the world. But the mark of the beast is a stamp, or a sign, or seal, or badge of servitude to some power or being. So then, as this is true, what exactly is this mark of Catholicism? What is this stamp or sign or seal or badge of servitude to that church? In Our Sunday Visitor, February 5, 1950, occurs this statement. Protestants accept Sunday rather than Saturday as the day for public worship after the Catholic Church made the change. In observing the Sunday, they are accepting the authority of the spokesman for the church, the Pope. Another statement. From a address that Priest Bradley gave that was reported in the Elizabeth, New Jersey News of March 18, 1903, occurs this statement. It is well to remind the Presbyterians, Baptists, Methodists, and all other Christians that the Bible does not support them anywhere in their observance of Sunday. Sunday is an institution of the Roman Catholic Church. And those who observe the day observe a commandment of the Catholic Church. Another statement is from Monsignor Louis Segur, titled Plain Talk About the Protestantism of Today, on page 213. It was the Catholic Church which transferred this rest, or Saturday as the Sabbath, to the Sunday. Thus, the observance of Sunday by the Protestants is an homage they pay, in spite of themselves, to the authority of the Catholic Church. And then from Chancellor, from H.F. Thomas, which was Chancellor of Cardinal Gibbons, and answered some of his correspondence, and this was a letter in answer to a question that came in. He makes this statement. Of course, the Catholic Church claims that the change from Saturday to Sunday was her act. It could not have been otherwise, as none in those days would have dreamed of doing anything in matters spiritual and religious without her. And the act is a mark of her ecclesiastical power and authority in religious matters. So since the Roman Catholic Church changed the original day of worshiping God from Saturday to Sunday, then this change, according to their own words, is a mark of her ecclesiastical power. So then, it's a stamp or a sign or a seal or a badge of this beast's authority and power. So then, if Sunday is a mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of the Roman Catholic Church's authority and power in religious matters, then Saturday must be the mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of authority and power to someone else. But whose? If you look at quote number 4, in Genesis 2, verses 2 to 3. And on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. In Ezekiel 20, verses 12 and 20. Moreover, I, or God, gave them my Sabbaths to be a sign between me and them, that they might know that I am the Lord that sanctify them, and hallow my Sabbaths, and they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So then Saturday, the seventh day of the week, the day before Sunday, is the Sabbath worship day of the Lord our God. And because God himself has blessed and made this Sabbath day holy, then this holy day is the mark or sign or seal of God's authority and power. And God has chosen this Sabbath day as a memorial of his creationary power above all the other days of the week. And all of his people are to worship him on this seventh day Sabbath. And he even told them not to forget this fact, but to remember it. In Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle that are within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore God blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So here we see the difference between the mark of the beast versus the mark of God. The sign of the beast versus the sign of God. The badge of servitude to the beast versus the badge of servitude or freedom to God. The God of heaven states that the seventh day or Saturday is the Sabbath or the worship day of the Lord thy God. But the beast states something different. If you look at quote number 5. In the Catholic Mirror, September 23, 1893, the Catholic Church for over 1,000 years before the existence of a Protestant changed the day from Saturday to Sunday. So the mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of God's authority and power in religious matters is his making the seventh day of the week, or Saturday, as his holy Sabbath worship day, while the mark or stamp or sign or seal or badge of the beast's authority and power in religious matters is the Roman Catholic Church making the first day of the week, or Sunday, as their worship day. So now that we know what the mark of the beast is, then how can we receive it? If you look at quote number 6, the Bible states that this mark of the beast will be received in their right hand or in their foreheads, which is from Revelation 13, 16 and also 14, verse 9. So then this mark that's symbolic, not literal. Since this mark is not literal, but symbolic, then how can we receive this mark either in our forehead or in our hands, the right hand? Receiving this symbolic mark in our forehead would signify that we accept this mark, represents a mental acceptance of it. In other words, you actually believe that the Roman Catholic Church has the authority to change God's Sabbath day from Saturday to Sunday, and you have then chosen to bow to and obey Rome's authoritative command to keep Sunday as the Sabbath. You mentally accept that Rome has the power to change Saturday to Sunday, and then you follow the Catholic Church's command. That would give you the mark in your forehead. So then what would it mean to receive the mark in your right hand? Receiving this symbolic mark in your right hand would signify willing service for the mark. Or in other words, even though you do not believe that the Catholic Church has the authority to change God's Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, or perhaps you don't believe in a day of worship at all, yet you still choose to bow to and obey Rome's command to keep Sunday as the Sabbath. So that would be willing service. Willing obedience to Roman Catholicism would also give you the mark. But Sunday worship is not a command of the God of heaven. It's a command of the Roman Catholic Church. And Catholicism clearly understands this fact. They even boast about it. If you look at quote number 7, from the Catholic Press, Sydney, Australia, August, of 1900 appears this statement. Sunday is a Catholic institution and its claims to observance can be defended only on Catholic principles. From beginning to end of Scripture, there is not a single passage that warrants the transfer of weekly public worship from the last day of the week to the first. So Rome is well aware of this issue. Another statement is from priest Thomas Enright from the Redemptorist Catholic College in Kansas City, Missouri, in a lecture that he gave titled Sunday in History, and this is page 56 of this lecture. That's dated February 18, 1884. Prove to me from the Bible alone that I am bound to keep Sunday holy. There is no such law in the Bible. It is a law of the Holy Catholic Church alone. The Bible says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. The Catholic Church says no. By my divine power, I abolish the Sabbath day and command you to keep holy the first day of the week. And lo, the entire civilized world bows down in reverent obedience to the command of the Holy Catholic Church. So as this is true, then the mark or seal of the God of heaven would be choosing to bow down to and obey his authoritative command to worship him only on Saturday, his chosen Sabbath worship day. If you choose to do this, then it is a sign that you show that you love, serve, and worship God because you recognize his supremacy to rule over you as your God. But the mark or seal of the beast would be choosing to bow down to and obey the Roman Catholic Church's authoritative command to worship only on Sunday, the chosen Sabbath day of the Pope, who declares himself to be in God's place. If you choose to do this, then it is a sign that you show that you love, serve, and worship the Pope of Roman Catholicism because you recognize his supremacy to rule over you as your God. So then these facts of truth clearly reveal that the mark of the beast is not a literal mark. It's not a laser mark. It's not a credit card or a biochip implant. And neither is it a national identification number, a giant computer, or any other literal thing. Now, all of these items might be used to try and coerce you or force you to receiving the mark, yet none of these things are the mark itself. But the mark of the beast is a symbolic mark because you've chosen to bow down to and obey the Roman Catholic Church's authoritative command for you to worship on Sunday, and then you choose to worship on Sunday. That's what the mark is. So now, in knowing exactly who the beast of Revelation 13 is, Roman Catholicism, knowing exactly what the mark of the beast is, bowing down and worshiping the Pope's command to keep Sunday holy, and you know exactly how it's received, obeying the command to worship, then whose authority and power will you bow down to and obey as supreme over you in this great controversy over the Sabbath Sunday issue? The Lord God of heaven says, keep Saturday holy. The Roman Catholic Church says, no, don't keep Saturday holy, keep Sunday holy. So who are you going to obey? The Lord God of heaven? Or the Pope and the substitute God in the Roman Catholic Church? You know, every human being in this world will have to make this ultimate decision in whom they will worship and obey in this Sabbath Sunday issue. Those who choose to obey the God of heaven and worship him only on his chosen seventh-day Sabbath will receive his seal and will be forever saved. While those who choose to obey the substitute God of the Roman Catholic Church and worship him on his chosen Sunday Sabbath will receive his mark and will be forever lost. The choice is up to you. So what is your decision going to be? Choose you this day whom you will serve. Study these things out for yourself. Apply line upon line of scripture and base your decision upon a thus saith the Lord. And not upon a thus saith the beast, or the Pope, or the church, or the minister, or the church councils, or the creeds. Base it upon a thus saith the Lord. And in choosing to follow God, you're choosing life. So since we have positively identified who the beast of Revelation 13 is and what the mark of this beast is, then what exactly is the image of the beast? And this is what we will discover next time. So what is this image? It has a significant role to play, listed there in Revelation 13. Also listed in Revelation 14. And next time we'll discover what this image is. So we hope to see you then, dear ones. And amen. Acts 5:29, we ought to obey God rather than men. Amen indeed. So praise God for his word. It brings the issues out so clearly and allows people to have a choice. So choose you this day whom you will serve. Amen. Our closing song is titled Holy Day, Jehovah's Rest. Holy day, Jehovah's rest, of creation's week the best, last of all the chosen seven, blessed of God to man 'twas given. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
First a 6 days' work was done, then the Sabbath was begun. Thus he blessed the seventh day, and in resting we obey. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thousands have his plan revised, resting now upon the first. Search the book and you will know there's no scripture tells you so. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
All who speak the truth must say, it was the Pope who changed the day. In God's word no change appears, through the whole 6,000 years. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed, 'tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Thus I searched, and when I saw only one great Sabbath law, then I hastened to obey. Plainly 'twas the only way. Welcome, 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 welcome. Glad we hail its presence blessed. 'Tis the great Jehovah's rest.
Amen. And praise God for letting us know what His holy day of rest is. And now we have the precious chance to study this for ourselves. Allowing the Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth, become convicted and converted on the truth, and choose to follow the command and authority of the God of heaven. Or not to. It's our choice. But praise God for letting us know the difference and giving us this freedom of choice. Shall we pray? Father, thank you so very much for giving us thy law and for not allowing it to be completely eradicated and covered over by the devil and any of his agents, but allowing us to have your word of life that brings forth this law in crystal clarity and also reveals to us the attempt of the devil and his agents to try and keep your people deceived and misled into worshiping a day that you've never chosen, but another has. And please help us to more clearly recognize that since each one has the freedom of choice, then we choose for ourselves either the destiny of life or the destiny of destruction. And no one can choose for us. Help us to recognize that we can't allow another to choose for us and think that we will have salvation based on the other person's choice for us. But help us to take charge of our own destiny and help us to fall in love with the Savior, recognizing the great sacrifice that he made in order to give us this freedom of choice, in order to give us this word of life that exposes the dangers of error and the traditions of men, and that admonishes us to choose life so that we might, in following your commandments, recognize your authority in all religious matters, since you are the creator of all truth, and choose to follow you because of your love for us. And help our love for the truth, our love for Jesus, grow more firm and become so an integral part of our very existence that we will rather die than give it up, that we would rather lose anything and sacrifice it all that we might have the truth because in obtaining the truth and clinging to it, we are obtaining Jesus, that pearl of great price, that treasure hid in the field. He gave everything for us. We can give everything for him, for he is worthy. Father, we desire your seal, your mark. And please help us to so settle into the truth, become so fixed and immovable upon it, that we might indeed receive your seal, your mark of approval. We do not want the mark of the beast. We do not want men to rule over us. We do not want churches or creeds to base our salvation upon, for that is the sandy, unstable soil that cannot withstand the flood. We do not want our great expectations to fall and be lost. So please help us to study these things for ourselves, that we might be rooted and grounded upon a thus saith the Lord and an it is written, for your words will never fail. They will endure forever. Everything else can pass away, but your word remains firm and true. So help us to cling to the truth, cling to Jesus, and never let him go. And thank you for the grace and strength to do so. In Jesus' precious name, amen. So that is what the mark of the beast is. And that is what the seal of God is. And now it's your choice, dear ones. And I pray that you will choose life. For in choosing Jesus, you choose everything. So amen. Are there any thoughts, any comments, any questions, anything else that you'd like to share, dear ones? And please go right ahead.
Well, the other day you put a song up called The Bible Stands. And there was a sister that sang it so pretty, she said it was her favorite song. And if she's here today, I would love to hear her sing a verse of it. All of you that know it, it's such a great song. Please sing it.
The Bible stands like a rock undaunted mid the raging storms of time. Its pages burn with the truth eternal, and they glow with the light sublime. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
The Bible stands like a mountain towering far above the works of men. Its truth by none ever was refuted, and destroy it they never can. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
I'll give this verse a try. The Bible stands and it will forever when the world has passed away. By inspiration it has been given out its precepts I will obey. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will firmly stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands. Thank you guys for singing that so I could catch it.
The Bible stands every test we give it, for its author is divine. By grace alone I accept and live it, and to prove it and make it mine. The Bible stands, though the hills may tumble, it will surely stand when the earth shall crumble. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.
Amen. God's word will indeed stand. It will not fail, come what may. And Christ, the truth, will not leave us. He'll be with us until the end of the world, come what may. What a precious comfort it is to know that the Savior will be with us, that the truth will abide with us unto the end without forsaking us. Nothing to be discouraged by, to recognize that Christ will not abandon us in our time of need, but He'll be right there with us unto the end. Praise God. Well, dear ones, are there any other thoughts, any other comments, any other songs? Thank you for that request, dearest sister. Any other thoughts, testimonies? Please go right ahead.
How about blessings, your brother Bob and all the brethren? I want to talk about the service today. This morning I was reading your book, To Be the God of One World. And in the first chapter of that book is related to the topic you explained to us today. And I think that the key of the Greek controversy is the worship and the authority. And Satan is using some players, and he's working through them to supplant the Jesus name and also the worship that we have to offer him. Also, I understood from the reading that I did this morning is that we have to be aware from all the attempts that the devil is trying to do to mislead us and also to supplant the Jesus' work and also the worship that we have to offer him. So the Pope is the beast of Revelation 13, the leopard-like beast. And our mission is to spread the gospel all over the world, and also say to the people that they have to worship Jesus instead of the Pope, because Satan has used it as a image or to supplant the Jesus name, and also his throne. And to finish, I will keep reading the book, the next chapters, because it's an interesting book, to know or to gain more knowledge about that topic.
Well, amen, dear brother, and thank you so very much for your testimony there. And it's amazing to me that the Bible could bring out in such crystal clarity the different players that are going to partake in this last controversy. And to know that prophecy was written 2,000 years ago, and yet it's applicable to today, it just shows me and verifies to me that God knows exactly what he's talking about, and that the Bible is indeed the true word of God. Without a doubt, there is no error found in God's word of inspiration. It's 100% correct. And in applying line upon line, verse with verse, we gain the true, complete understanding of what God's word is saying to us. And in mercy, God is letting each person of the world recognize that salvation or destruction all comes down to who they love the most. Do they love Jesus? Then they will follow his commandments. Do they love someone other than Jesus? Then they will follow the other person's commandments. It's that clear. It's that simple of an analogy. We either love God or we don't. And so it's our decision. But praise God for giving us his word and letting us know who's going to be involved, and thus we can recognize where deception is coming from and avoid it, not get caught up in it, not get wrapped up in it, because the devil is doing everything that he possibly can, and he's using any agency that he possibly can use to come against Christ in the person of his saints. And praise God for pointing out the definition of saints in the Bible. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus, the testimonies of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy. So I pray that each one of us will follow the Lamb whithersoever he goeth, and that we will avoid being caught up in anything connected with the beast or its image. So, amen, dear brother. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? Please go right ahead.
I have a testimony, and I also have a praise. You all saw how nervous I was this morning. It looked like I didn't have a head. My father had his operation finally done on the 13th. We waited 9 months, and by God's grace, we saw the hands of the Lord in all the different areas of how he had brought us to this point. But this morning, I had a fight. My father had fell off the bed. And the way how I found him, I was pretty much alarmed, because I was wondering if he hit his head or any other part of his body. And thanking God for the strength to also pull him back up. You know, I'm kind of a little short. And my father's really tall and very solid. And I was very nervous if I should rush him to the hospital or do the work in the room. But I had to trust God and praise God that we have someone here that we can be able to relate medical things, so she can be able to help me to check on all the different things that I have to see concerning my dad. But I want to thank each and every one of the brethren that prayed, help, in support, comfort in so many different ways. I'm so glad that the Lord have brought this wonderful family spiritually and also physically in this journey that we had with my dad. If some of the brothers may not be acquainted with my father's case, in 2014, going into 15, he was diagnosed with prostate cancer. And then he was diagnosed with Parkinson's. And then he was diagnosed that he might lose his sight. There were so many diagnoses of what my father feels all about, but I'm so glad that with all of that, Christ is the only true physician. And at the end, holding on to hope and also trust, as a family, we had made my father go to North Carolina to my sister, did a certain procedure over there, brought back to New York, and he's been here for 9 months, and it's been truly a blessing to see the Lord moving doctors, nurses, even individuals we didn't see, the people that we had to take the Uber or the cab for because of the ability that he had to be able to move. I am so thankful for what the Lord have done, not only for his physical body, but more for his spiritual body. There's a comment that my father said before he had went into surgery as we were sitting down waiting. The strangest thing is that I find it strange because the first time when he was going to get operated on, it was September 19th of last year. And it didn't come about because of the thyroid problem that he had. It was too high, which in a way we were so glad because when he had the operation in Mexico, they didn't detect the thyroid level of the hormones in his body. And he didn't get up from the anesthesia. He was there from early in the morning, like around 8 or so, and he didn't came out of it until 12 o'clock at night. And none of the doctors, no one knew what was wrong with him. We didn't get any kind of explanation concerning what was going on with him. But at the time, he was actually struggling with some stones. And that's why we had to send him to our dear brother that had passed, Brother Fleming, and under my sister's and her husband care at the time. And with all the journey that we have with my dad, the most beautiful thing that I heard when he uttered, you know, Rose, in my 81 years of life, these months that he has stayed is of more value than all the age that he has. It became foolishness. I really was really taken by that because I've been praying for my dad for so long, and I want to give encouragement to many people that may have families or loved ones or friends that may not at this moment come to God. But if you continue on with faith, knowing that the Lord is able to save to the uttermost, you hold on to him because he's able to bring forth anyone that is willing to open their heart to not only know his word, but to be able to be transformed in their life in whatever manner that he can. And I just want to thank everyone for your prayers and your support in the case, not only for my dad, but for my entire family. I just wanted to share that.
Thank you very much, brethren. Have a testimony. And also a comment to give. Perhaps I would want to start with the comment over the lesson that we have just been listening to. I want to call it a blessing, brethren, for the Lord to provide this chance and time, which I would call a special time to you and me. The message that we are getting is a special message, which is not common in many churches. Many people are crying for this type of message, especially here in Africa. and they can't get this type of message. Reasons is because there are very few that can stand up firmly and explain these things and explain the prophecies in black and white in an open space. Why? Because they are fearing. Now, for us, we have a special spirit that is explaining to us, and we have a spirit. It is amazing that everything that is written in the Bible is there for us to understand and to be explained to. But not many have this chance that we are having. Like here in Africa, I would quote like that verse which says, the fruits or the garden is ready, but there are very few workers to go and do the harvesting thing. And this is what is happening. Many people are ready to take up the truth, and especially those that are worshiping on Sunday. It is our experience and a good testimony to tell you that wherever we are going with the brethren, when Sunday keepers comes to hear the truth that we have, they are embracing this truth more than the SDAs. We want to praise God for this. May the Lord continue blessing this ministry, continue blessing Elder Bob and all those that are helping, or all those that are teaching these lessons in this chat room, so that we are able to learn these things. And as for me, I want to try by all means to see to it, if the Lord will allow means, we want to extract all these lessons and reprint them or print them, so that we can distribute these lessons to many people that want to hear these prophecies and these truths. Pray with us so that we can do, or so that I can do, that which I plan to do, especially for these prophecies to other brethren. Now, I have a testimony that I want to give you, brethren. First and foremost, I want to apologize that I'm staying in a position whereby I'm just raying because of my neck that is giving me some pains, especially after traveling a long distance. When you heard that Sister Sarah, a sister in Windhoek, well, that is the capital city for Namibia, our neighboring country, passed on, when we got this message, we were shocked because it's not someone that we could just hear about, but it's someone that we knew, and a friend and close family friends and a sister in the real Lord and in the real truth. And so for those that gave us or sent some support to help me travel, I traveled with Brother Tisa. We went there. And the first day we reached there, it was a day when they were giving testimonies, or perhaps I would say it was a memorial day, when the messages of condolences were being read. And also, for those that received those photos and some ritual videos, you would have seen Brother Fred speaking, and his first sentence was that he never knew that he was living with an angel. And this is one thing that I want to remind each of us, that brethren, even as we live in our homes, let's recognize the presence of the wife, the presence of the husband, the presence of the children, even love them. So that even when the Lord will allow one of us or one of you in that family to rest, to be a praise and an appreciation to say the Lord has blessed us and lived with us. So when we finished this day of memorial, the following day was a day of burying, and that was on 5th February. Sister Sarah had taught the husband, earlier on at their farm to say the husband should not plant some maize on the other side because she wanted that other side to be her flower garden. And not knowing what she meant, and this is the side where her grave was, which was representing her ways, which she said, the flower garden. The Lord allowed me to speak in the presence of over 800 people that attended the burial day. And most of these were SDAs and also non-SDAs, and few of those of our faith. The Lord spoke. I want to appreciate your prayers that you prayed for me and that I could be able to explain the truth. And when this truth was received, most of the people were surprised. From the book of Mark chapter 4 verse 34, a story of Jesus Christ crossing Jordan, and then the storm came to hit into the boat. While saying these other small storms, small boats, there were no storm. The storm couldn't reach there. The Spirit helped me to explain. And later on, I also quoted from 2 Kings, the story of the acts of a certain prophet or student that dropped in water, and which was by God's power through the prophet Elisha, was recovered, and more explanations were given out, and the Lord gave this message to many people, and many people in that area appreciated us. They never heard this message. From there, as we went to Bari, I was given another chance. Again, they said, no, we couldn't just be satisfied with the message. You still want more messages. And the Lord allowed me just to give a brief explanation over what I was teaching. And then we buried the sister. Sister Sarah was not just a sister. She was a mother. She was a friend. Especially to me, she was a very close friend. And it is on this day of her burial when I discovered that we are age mates. Sister Sarah could teach nutrition, could teach a lot of things to the church, not only in their country, but also to the brethren in the Southern Africa. She was a sister who many people could not believe she was ever smiling and she was ever teaching the truth. And on this funny day, 28th January, when she met her death, a fellow worker, her subordinate, came with a gun, entered into the office. It was around 10 hours after she had left home and prayed. In the office around 10 to 11 hours, because this man's contract of the job was ending. And now I don't know what connection, or maybe she thought Sister Sarah was the one to do the renewal. And then she shot Sister Sarah with 3 bullets. And then another worker which was in the office also was shot, but the other one, Sister Sarah died on the spot, but the other one still in the hospital. And this is what happened. But I want to believe that the Lord had a reason for this. And this is one of the things that I explained to the people who were gathered there to say, it is because the Lord wanted to speak this message to you so that you would understand the belief that Sister Sarah had. So I want to appreciate, brethren, for your support, for your prayers. Although at the end of the day, as we were coming back, because the trip was too long and we were using public public transports, and a lot of breakdowns on the way, and so we had the literal finances, the two of us, and we went into an extent of even borrowing $200, which we haven't yet paid. But I'm just praying and I'm kneeling before you, brethren, that by God's mercy, if any can help us so that we can even pay back. But I tell you, the Lord has done great in that country. And we are still being called again to go and see most of the people that attended this burial. May the Lord be with you. Thank you for the great help. Amen.
Thank you, dear brother, for your testimony, and we will indeed be keeping the people connected with Sister Sarah in our prayers, the dear family there, Brother Fred. And especially we'll be keeping the 800 people that were there and heard your message bringing out the truth to them, and that they will indeed choose to follow Christ and want to learn more. And if it's God's will that you go back there and be able to witness to them, or if Brother Fred or other workers are able to reach them, then praise God indeed. We'll be keeping them in our prayers. So thank you, dear brother. Are there any other thoughts, any other comments? And praise God, dear brother, you made it home safely. Please give our Christian greetings and brotherly love to our fellow Zambian brethren. But any other thoughts, any other comments, dear ones? Please go right ahead.
Sad blessings, everyone. I'd just like to share here another hymn that I've learned yesterday. I couldn't be able to sing it last night, but I was able to rehearse it so I can sing it today. O day of rest and gladness, O day of joy and light, O balm of care and sadness, most beautiful, most bright, on thee the hallowed, we bend before the throne. Sing holy, 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 to be eternal God. Thou art a poor protector from storms that round us rise, a garden intersected with streams of paradise. Thou art a cooling fountain in life's bright dreary sand. From thee, like Pisgah's mountain, we view our promised land. A day of sweet reflection, thou art a day of love. A day to raise affection from earth to things above. New graces ever gained from this our day of rest. We see the lost remaining in mansions of the blessed. Amen. Thank you for listening.
Amen. And thank you, dear brother Josh. That was beautiful. Been a while since I heard that hymn. Are there any other songs? Any other thoughts that you'd like to share, dear ones? Please feel free to do so. Well, this hymn came to mind. We're dealing with sharing our truth and sounding forth the loud cry, and this is appropriate. Sound the loud cry, Babylon's demise is nigh. Point her captives high to the Lord. Bring them all out with a mighty shout, standing firm upon God's holy word. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain, ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng.
Strong to meet the foe, marching on we go, while God's cause we know must prevail. With the Spirit's might, this earth is filled with light. The end is now in sight. We cannot fail. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain. Ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng.
O thou God of all, hear us when we call. Help us not to fall by thy grace. When the battle's won, Babylon's fall is done. Millions saved to stand before thy face. Rouse then, remnant, refreshed by the latter rain. Ready, steady, spread the truth along. Onward, forward, preach the righteousness of Christ. He is captain of the mighty throng. So go forth, dear ones, and sound the loud cry. Bring down Babylon, that precious souls may be garnered and one to the Lord Jesus Christ before it's too late. So, amen.
I don't know if you saw it, Elder Bob, but there is a request for Under His Wings.
Thank you for bringing that to my attention. I did not see it, but let me go ahead and bring it up here.
Under His wings I'm safely abiding, though the night deepens and tempests are wild. Still I can trust Him, I know He will keep me. He has redeemed me and I am His child. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever. Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Under His wings, what a refuge in sorrow. How the heart yearningly turns to its friend. Often when earth has no balm for my healing, there I find comfort and there I am blessed. Under His wings, under His wings, who from His love can sever. Under His wings my soul shall abide, safely abide forever.
Under his wings, oh, what precious enjoyment. There I will hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe evermore. Under his wings, under his wings, who from his love can sever? Under his wings, my soul shall abide. Safely abide forever.
Amen. That was beautiful. And one other song came to mind. And I know that Sister Cece loves this song, so I'm going to ask her to start it out for us. It's The Temple Made of Time, and it's on the topic that we've been discussing. So please, dear sister, start us out.
I do love this song, and it's a pleasure. God took 6 days and created earth and moon, the stars and sun. On the seventh day, he rested from the work that he had done. Then he blessed it, made it holy as a gift for every man. To remind us where we came from and just how the world began. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter in the joy divine. In a temple made of time.
Amen. Thank you, sister. See him worship on the Sabbath as his weekly custom was. Feel the fury of the rabbis, for he would not heed their laws. So they killed him on a hillside as the sun began to fade. But he even kept the Sabbath as they laid him in the grave. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter into joy divine, in a temple made of time.
All forsaken and forgotten, desecrated and profane. But the sacred fourth commandment is still valid and unchanged. Hear the Father gently calling, if you love me, keep each one. Not for merit nor salvation, but because you love my son. Holy day, purified, set apart, sanctified, enter in temple made of time. You will find joy divine in a temple made of time.
And thank you, Haley, for singing along there and for agreeing with the song on the Sabbath. Good to hear your voice, dear sister. We're still waiting for that song that you were going to sing for us. Well, dear ones, it's been a wonderful Sabbath day. Is there any other thoughts, any other comments? Hello there, Sister Haley. And the other sister there, hello.
Happy time. Yeah, Father. Glad to hear Peter's name is saying. Happy time. Yeah, Father.
Yay. Good job, said blessed Sabbath, everyone.
Well, thank you, dear sister. That was so great. Praise the Lord. You got a good voice to sing for Jesus. And keep singing for him. Clap your tiny hands as well. Amen. Well, dear ones, is there one last song that you'd like to sing before we close today's service? One last thought that you'd like to share? And please go right ahead.
How about Don't Forget the Sabbath?
That's another good one. Appropriate to end on, too. Thank you for that suggestion. Don't forget the Sabbath, the Lord our God has blessed. Of all the week, the brightest, of all the week, the best. It brings repose from labor, it tells of joy divine. Its beams of light descending with heavenly beauty shine. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Keep the Sabbath holy and worship him today. Who said to his disciples, I am the living way. And if we need to follow our Savior here below, he gives us of his fountain, whose streams eternal flow. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
Day of sacred pleasure, golden hours spent, and thankful hands to Jesus, the children's dearest friends. Oh, gentle, loving Savior, how great and kind thou art, how precious and thy promise to dwell in every heart. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day. Welcome, welcome, ever welcome, blessed Sabbath day.
I would like to sing this song. It's also appropriate that we may keep Christ to be our hidden place, especially when we are giving such a message to the world that the world may not want to be able to hear or even accept easily. But if we keep Christ to be our hidden place, he will give us the word and the spirit to be able to carry forth the mission. And he has been my hidden place in time of trials and circumstances that I cannot control, and filling us with not only words or songs and praise, but also meditating upon his word. And the spirit of prophecy has brought comfort to my heart as well. This song also have a Spanish section that we can also allow our Spanish brethren to be able to enjoy. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let the weak say I am strong in the strength of the Lord. You are my hiding place. You always fill my mind with words, words of wisdom. Whenever I am in doubt, I will trust in you. I will trust in you. Let me walk by faith and words in the strength of the Lord. Tú eres mi oculto lugar. Llenas mi corazón con cánticos de liberación. De angustias me guardarás, confiaré en ti. Confiaré en ti. El débil dirá, fuerte soy, con poder del Señor. You are my hiding place. You always fill my heart with songs of deliverance. Whenever I am afraid, I will trust in you. Confiaré en ti. El débil dirá, fuerte soy, con poder del Señor. Psalms 32 verse 7, though I'm my hidden place, thou shalt preserve me from trouble, thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. Selah.
Amen. And a thank you, dearest sisters, for bringing that forth. And indeed, the Lord is our strong tower, our hiding place, and in him we will be kept safely. So, amen. And let us choose to serve the Lord and not to serve men. Let us receive the seal of God and not the mark of the beast. So, dear ones, we hope to see you next Sabbath. And until then, may God bless. Keep looking up. And we're waiting for Brother Dick to close the meeting here. But you're free to stay afterwards and continue to fellowship. You know, so just because we have the closing song doesn't mean the meeting's over. So thank you, Brother Dick, and may God bless one and all.
Keep looking up, thy God is still the same today. Keep looking up, he will not fail thee, come what may. Keep looking up. the darkest cloud will roll away. But is not the bucket unlocking?
God bless you too, dear Brother Bob, and all the family. And I'm so happy to be able to say that from the bottom of my heart. May the Lord give you all His wisdom and His knowledge and keep you on His pathway and have everyone under His holy wing. Let us be meek and humble. God bless you all.
Well, thank you, dear Brother Rodolfo, and God bless you too, dear brother. We're keeping you in prayers and hope for a very speedy recovery. And got a brotherly hug for you here. So it'll be passed on to you.
Don't call me, I'm coming to get it.
Oh, praise God, dear brother, and keep looking up. We're a day closer to heaven.
Yes, we are.